about that nest. And then when we read it in the Bible and it says, but you know, Mary knew that he could do that. Obviously, she had seen him do some pretty spectacular things. Don't you imagine? She knew he could turn the water into wine, and he did.
This is our Lord and Savior. Now, why am I telling you all this? These are stories about Jesus, but there were many, many more, the Bible says, that we don't tell you about. Because what we're doing this for, what I have done for you, I want you to remember. I want you to increase your faith because you hear what Jesus has done, and you know it's the truth. It wouldn't be good if it was not the truth. I want you to be able to put your trust in these stories. And that's what we do. God wants us to believe in His Son. You know, when Peter got up and preached to the crowd after Jesus had been crucified and rose from the grave, and as he was preaching, he told them, he says, I want you to believe. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why is that so important? Because the Holy Spirit that dwells within you when you become a Christian, when you're immersed for the forgiveness of your sins and you come up out of that water, as you've heard our brother preach many times, God's Holy Spirit is living within you. That's important. You know why it's important? When you die, guess what? You want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell? That's the question. God's Holy Spirit living within you takes you to be with the Lord, and you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever, and that's what we want to do. So when you come around the table, God says, remember me. Talk about me. Talk about the things I've done so that it helps the people build up their faith and makes them stronger. That's why we partake in communion. That's why we partake of the cup and the bread. Jesus is the bread of life. All the things that He's done and His blood washes away our sin so that the Father does not see Him anymore. It blots Him out. That's why we partake of the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread. God is so, so good to us. I've had things happening to me this week. Just believe me. God is real. He's on His throne. He's still alive. And when you come around this table, you remember that. Father, we thank You so much for Your love. We thank you for caring for us. I thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me and all of us as we partake of this table that you set before us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can come and bring our tithes and offerings to you, Father. And we thank you, Father, for the love that you have for us, for the way you watch over us and give us everything we need, Father. Now we bring a portion of that back to you. We pray that you'll help us to use it in a wisely manner throughout this community and throughout the world, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Dun, dun, dun.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
In Bethlehem. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the third book of your New Testaments. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2. We're going to be looking at a couple of verses. I encourage you to read verses 8 through 20, but we're just going to pick out a couple of verses that we're going to focus in on. I was kind of in a little dilemma this week because I did start a long preaching series weeks and weeks ago, and it just seems like every week there was something preempting it. I know I got sick a week, and then there were a couple special Sundays, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm thinking, all right, now we can get back on it, and then I realize if I preached a segment of that series, then next week we have another break, and because of Christmas Day, and I do hope that you'll be here. It is going to be a little different. No Sunday school that day, but 10 o'clock. I hope that you'll maybe bring a guest or two, because I think they'll enjoy what we're going to try to do on that day. So I've just made a decision that I'm going to preach on Christmas. I do preach on themes, and so we're going to preach on Christmas today, and next week we have Christmas Day, special service, and then as we get into the brand new year, that's when we'll, in earnest, start tackling this 13-week series, and hopefully you'll be involved with it. I hope you're still thanking all of you, if you've been kind of with us the few weeks that we have focused on this, thinking about your neighborhood. Thinking about I've talked to my wife several times. Who do you think we should have over first? And I'll throw out a name. She says, well, I was thinking about, well, you're right. We should do that one first. And, you know, because you need to be in agreement if you're a husband and wife at this, and try to decide, you know, who you might have over. Just know that that's a plan. That's a part of the preaching series, is to encourage everyone to think about having all your neighbors 4x4, not everybody in a complete community, but the four, the primary four that are close and around you, that you would actually say, yeah, that's next door, that's front, back, etc. And I hope that you're thinking about when that's going to happen, sometime in the new year. I'm entitled to today's message, though, Finding the Real Meaning of Christmas, and I think this is a problem that our society is having more and more. Less and less people are thinking about Christmas, except maybe the material side of it. Seems like Thanksgiving is no longer a holiday. Yeah, maybe turkey dinner, but that's about it. Seems like in the stores, I never see any Thanksgiving displays. It seems like we just go from, you know, the normal, and then bam, Christmas. And that to me is all about commercialism for the most part. But we are in the Christmas season, and I think we need to be asking this question: have we discovered the real meaning of Christmas? In 1858, those with quick computer brains, that was 164 years ago, a scientific expedition passed through the part of our country we know today as the Grand Canyon. A young lieutenant made this entry in his report: this region is altogether valueless. It can be approached only from the south, and after entering it, there is nothing to do here but to leave. It shall be forever unvisited and undisturbed. That was 164 years ago. Now, let's go back over 2,000 years ago. A baby was born in a little out-of-the-way hamlet called Bethlehem. Neither the Roman Sentinel nor the Bethlehem Daily News picked up on the story. Life went on as normal, And if a reporter would have interviewed the citizens of that city, Bethlehem, the morning after the birth of Jesus, they would have in one voice agreed, nothing significant happened here last night. It is just another night in a quiet town in Judea. But folks, listen, history has proven all of these reporters wrong. For the Grand Canyon is one of the most visited sites in America today. An estimated 5.9 million visitors per year visit the Grand Canyon. And that relatively unknown birth of a baby in a little town called Bethlehem has proven to be the most significant moment in all of history. The singular event which divides our history between B.C. and A.D. The birth of Christ is what separates it. In the midst of the many who missed the significance of that first Christmas, there were a few, though, who actually discovered the real meaning of Christmas. If you were to ask the innkeeper what Christmas meant to him, he would have said something along the lines, Christmas? What is that? But if you were to ask the shepherds that Christmas, what it meant to them, they would have said it was the most glorious night of our lives. Why is there such a contrast? The innkeeper was right there. He was involved. Shepherds were close by and became even more involved as the night proceeded. But they were both there at ground zero, and both had different reactions. Why is there such a contrast here? I guess the question that we really need to ask here this morning is, why were the shepherds able to find the real meaning of Christmas while others, right there, in the midst of that birth, were not? Let's look closer at this question today so that we might discover for ourselves, hopefully, the real meaning of Christmas. Yes, among the local people of that little town called Bethlehem, only the shepherds seemed to discover the real meaning of Christmas on the first Christmas. In our text, I believe we will find that that there were three reasons why the shepherds discovered something that most people missed. And I want us to look at those three reasons right now. The first reason is found there in verse 15 of chapter 2 of Luke, where we find that the shepherds sought out Christ. How would we respond to that great host of angels on that dark Judean night long ago? Perhaps we would have responded with indifference or indecision, or we might have seen it as maybe an inconvenience to our schedule. We might say, wow, that really is a wonderful message we just heard from the angels, but man, look at the time. We don't have much time to really investigate that. Our calendars are full. I have an appointment, and another one after that all night long. I just can't shake loose to check that thing out. That could have been a response for many if they had heard those angels. Of course, the shepherds did not respond in any of those ways at all. Our text says there in verse 15, notice what it says. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let us see." So with a spirit of openness and a sense of urgency, the shepherds sought out that baby, the Christ child. And by doing this, they found, I think, the real meaning of Christmas. Folks, if we are to discover the real meaning of Christmas in our lives today, then we must also seek out the Christ child in the midst of all the activities and all the demands that are being put upon our lives. Margaret Wage needed to seek out the Christ child in her life, and she shares the following true story. On Christmas Eve, after getting off the typing job at noon, I stood dejected in the crowd of people waiting for the subway train to arrive. I had worked by myself all morning long, since all my fellow workers had all been given the day off. Many people around me were talking happily about their trips home to see their families. Some had little children with them, actually, talking about Christmas and gifts. I had no home, just a rented room, no plans. No husband, no children, although I was getting well into my 30s. Suddenly, I heard the crystal notes of two flutes interweaving. I looked up and down the way and down the platform just a bit were two young girls playing Christmas carols. In their serene young beauty, they actually looked like angels to me in disguise. I added my quarter to the pile of change in their open flute cases. The train came and went, but I lingered, fascinated by the people who came forward and dropped coins and even bills into their flute cases. Most were shabbily dressed, but their faces seemed to show a bit of happiness. These were the poor, the people Jesus had greatly loved when he was here on earth. On that cold, noisy subway platform, they were joined, without knowing one another, in the great Christmas feast of love that I had lost sight of because of my self-pity. Finally, I heard the little girls play, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." And I found myself remembering words that I had not sung since I was a child. "O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today." And suddenly, there in this bleak subway train station, everything began to change for me. I did have a Christmas feast to go to. The Lord's Supper would be offered at my church service that night. Of course, I had a home too, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. As I continued to think, I thought, of course, I had a child, I thought. The Holy Child could be born in me every day as I sought to love him above and beyond the hope for a worldly marriage and children. Yes, I took the next train home, feeling warm and content. I knew that those two young strangers had given me a magnificent Christmas gift that year. They had put Christ back where he belonged, in Christmas and in my heart. Folks, let's learn that if we wish to discover the real meaning of Christmas this year, then we must seek after Christ in the midst of all the activities and the demands of the season. Let's go and see the Christ child, just as the shepherds did on that first Christmas. The second reason why the shepherds were able to find the real meaning of Christmas, I believe, is because the shepherds actually saw Christ. Did you catch that in our text? The shepherds not only sought out the Christ child because of the words of the angels, but they actually found him. Look at Luke verse 16 of chapter 2. So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Let me ask you, what do you see at Christmas time? Some see only the financial burdens of the season. A misprint in a Sunday bulletin on Christmas Sunday listed the choir special as, "I heard the bills on Christmas Day." Just a little typo. You see, that's all some of us can see at this time of the year, is the huge bill of debt building as we spend. Others are haunted by the emptiness of the season. Christmas is a time for family, and consequently, for some people, family is no longer with them. One recent widow, facing her first Christmas alone, said, "Christmas is going to be tough on me this year." Still others are only focused on all the burdens of the season. You have the special parties, the time with family, the delicious meals, the lighted yards, the eloquent decorated homes. They all are a burden to somebody. They're nice to see, they're nice to enjoy, but you always have to think, I wonder who did all the work to get that put up and put out. One husband told a friend one time, it was all he could do just to endure the Christmas season. The honey-do list was quite long. But folks, if we wish to catch the real meaning of Christmas, we must look through the expenses and through the loneliness and through the responsibilities, and we have to focus on Christ. We must see Christ as a special baby who fulfilled the prophecies of old. We must see him as the Son of God who revealed to us the truth about God. We must see him as the Savior of the world who died on the cross for our sins. We must see him as the resurrected Lord who won victory over all the enemies of mankind. We must see him as Lord of lords and King of kings, and he sits at the right hand of our Father who is in heaven. Yes, what made the first Christmas special was that the shepherds actually got to see for themselves the King of kings. And if we wish to find the real meaning of Christmas this year, we too must look beyond all the busyness of the season and come and actually see the Christ child in a personal way. And that brings us to our final point here today. The third reason why the shepherds, I think, were able to find the real meaning of Christmas on that first Christmas is because the shepherds shared Christ. The shepherds shared Christ. Look at verse 17. It says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. I suggest to you today that Christmas will take on a whole new meaning, not by receiving, which is often what people think Christmas is about, it's receiving, but rather by giving. Not by decorating our homes with lights, but by coming to the light of the world, who is Christ. And then be willing to share that light with a lost and dying world. How much have you shared Christ with others this Christmas? I hope that you'll be at our candlelight service. What a great service that reminds us about this part of Christmas. Christ, who entered the world as the single one light of hope and salvation. And how he shared it with 12 men and put the responsibility on them to go and share it with their friends. And how that little light lit up the whole world. Cecil B. DeMille, the great film director and producer, said that the crowning moment of his career came on the set of the King of Kings movie that he produced. That film, The Life of Christ, remains one of only a few to receive the praise of both critics and clergy. DeMille had recruited a motley crew for that mob scene there in the movie. He had sought out the street people from the worst part of Los Angeles, believing that only those who knew poverty and defeat would portray the mob correctly and show us the side of the uncaring Romans. They had thoroughly rehearsed their "crucify him" lines. From that group, DeMille then chose the roughest looking men to play the role of the soldiers who would act out the gruesome act of crucifixion. The film took longer than planned, and the filming ran late into December. The crucifixion scene was finally ready to be filmed, interesting, on the day before Christmas. Here we were on a bare hill with three crosses telling of his death when it was the day before his birth. On the spur of the moment, DeMille, the director and producer of that movie, who seldom said anything on the set, stepped to the center of the stage. He called for quiet and then said, "We will pause for 3 minutes of silence in remembrance of the King of Kings." In that moment, instantly, DeMille thought, "I've made a mistake." All around him, people smirked and lifted their eyes to the ceiling as if to say, "Oh, brother, here we go." DeMille thought they'll just wander off and get a drink or have a cigarette, but he kept his place. He bowed his head, kept his eyes closed, and as each minute passed, the set became quieter and quieter. Until it was absolutely quiet. After a minute, he heard a faint sound. It was singing. You heard it very faintly at first, and then it grew louder and louder. It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old. Others joined in. DeMille kept his head bowed, but he quietly sang along. After a few more moments, for no explainable reason, he opened his eyes finally. All around him, all the actors and the crew, they were all kneeling before the three crosses on the hillside. He gazed around at those rough and tough, defeated faces, and he saw tears running down their cheeks. On further reflection, Cecil B. DeMille said, "That was the greatest day of my life." The hard-driving Hollywood producer, the callous crowd, the weary crew, all of them were kneeling before Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Perhaps the greatest day of your life will be when you share Christ with others and know in your heart of hearts it was you. It was your effort. It was your desire to try to do something that Jesus asked all of us to do as he left this world, and that was to simply share the gospel, the good news, with a lost and dying world. And there in that moment of sharing and seeing maybe a friend, a neighbor come to the Lord. I've been with a few of you who have done just that. And I bet if we were to reference what happened with Cecil D. DeMille, you would probably say, yes, seeing my neighbor accept Jesus was one of the most exciting moments of my entire life. Because I understand the implications of someone accepting Jesus. And that it's not just a one-time local event, but rather that is an eternal event. And just as the angels appeared to the shepherds that night to announce the birth of the Christ child, we're told that the moment that someone is born again into the kingdom of God, all the angels of heaven rejoice over just one sinner who comes to the Lord. Wow. Having done this a few times in my life, I would tell you that is one of the most exciting moments that any Christian will ever experience is when you, most people say it was when you accepted Christ, and I'm put that aside. That's off the table. Yes, without that, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. But now that you're a Christian, now that you're living the Christian life, question is, are you seeking out Christ? Have you seen Christ? And if you have seen Christ, are you sharing him with others? When you're doing that, you'll experience what the shepherds of that first Christmas experienced. And Christmas will become real, truly real, in every way in your life. As we come to our time of invitation here today, maybe there's someone here who's outside of Christ. We never know on a given Sunday, but we extend that invitation. If someone needs to make Jesus Lord of their life, why not today, as we stand and sing our hymn of decision. If you were with us last week, we told you that we would we always extend our faith promise for 2 weeks, because there's usually about a third of our congregation missing on any given Sunday. And if you were not here last week, as you look up here on the board, just know that we have taken up faith promise commitments to the tune of $34,209. I left the other number up there because that was our goal from last year, $38,076. And some people say, well, what's the arrow? Well, that is showing you what actually came in this past year. We brought in almost $20,000 toward that $38,000. So we're going to leave that arrow there just to be a reminder all year long that that's what we brought last year. We did bring the thermometer down. It's now well above the 29,000 that's showing on there. We're up into the 30,000. And all I need to know, we received some things through the week, and we're going to add those in. And then, is there anybody here that would still like to, if you were not here last week, is there anybody here that would still like to make a faith promise today? And Wayne, I'm going to ask you, I see some hands up. I'm going to give you, if you can just get those, keep your hands up so that Wayne can see you. And Wayne, if you'll just stay at the back for a minute till they have a chance to fill those out. And then we're going to quickly tabulate what these few extra ones will do, and then we'll post then our faith promise for this coming year. Again, I know we have some new members that may not be fully familiar with the faith promise. We did spend a little bit of time last week trying to explain and go into some of the detail there. just know that as a church, for a small church, we have a pretty sizable budget for what we do here locally. But just know our budget, from a church point of view, has nothing to do with the missions we support. We support our missions through what comes in through faith promise. And our faith promise is really our best. It is a promise that you make between you and God. And again, don't put a name, please. Nobody put a name on this. It's not about names. It's just about you trusting God to provide the promise that you're about to make. That's where the faith comes in, because most people at this moment in the year already have made a commitment to the budget, and they have made a commitment to whatever else that we're trying to do here, and they should not have very much money. Now you're ready to make a faith promise because you're trusting God. You're trusting God to provide something that you don't know where that's going to come from. And so we... how much so far? $34,000. We have no idea as a church where that $34,000 is going to come. And so I should have had someone come. I thought we were just going to have one or two of these come in. So bear with me for just a moment. It'll take just a second here. I thought I could do this by myself. And I can do this very quickly. But give me just a minute so I can... Come on. Yes, you can do that very quickly. All right. This is the year weekly. All right, while she's doing that, this is the number we have to start with right here. Okay. While she's doing those last few here, let's go ahead and look at a couple of the announcements that are there in our bulletin. Today is our last time, men, to come together as a group of men. If you're interested in spending some time with your leaders, and we've got a little leadership series that we're doing, and then we're going to go out to eat, bring some money, so that we can fellowship. We hope that you'll be at my house at 5 o'clock and be able to share in that. This Wednesday, we will be having our Bible study. Some people are saying, where are you? Where are you in the study of the book of Revelation? Well, the theme now for a number of weeks is on the second coming of Christ. Now, some people thought when they heard the book of Revelation that it would all be on the second coming. Well, no, it's not all on the second coming of Christ, but lots of other events that surround the second coming we've been looking at. But now we are actually on the second coming, and what does the Bible say, and what will happen, and what perhaps will not happen. See, I think a lot of people have interpreted a lot of the Bible to deal with the second coming when it has nothing to do with it at all. And so you need to be educated. You need to come to know that, so that the scriptures that you share with people actually do talk about the events of the second coming. And so that's coming this Wednesday. Hope you'll be there. Hope we can see that group enlarge, because I think a lot of people have misconceptions of the book of Revelation as well as the second coming. Then Saturday, candlelight service, 6 o'clock. That's our traditional time. We'll be done. We're usually done in an hour. And so that people will still have the evening to do whatever else. Go look at the Christmas lights, etc. But please get the word out that we're going to take in that candlelight service. We're one of the few churches that still does that. Not every church does. Don't assume. And I'm glad that we've continued that right on, even through COVID. 2 years in a row, we still had our candlelight service. Attendance was down, yes. I'm hoping that it'll be back up and that we'll still have people wanting to get out and celebrate the birth of Christ with a candlelight service. That's very meaningful for a lot of people. So don't be afraid to go across the street and ask your neighbor, would you like to come to a candlelight service? We're having one. We'd love to see you. Come and share with us. You might be surprised. Some will say, just what we're looking for. We wanted to do something special, and we will do that this year at your place. So keep that in mind, if you will. That's Saturday evening, 6 o'clock. Sunday morning, no Sunday school, please. 10 o'clock is our morning start time. It will be a special service. It will be a little bit different. We're going to be focusing on that cross over there. Some of you have been to our service where we focus on the names of Jesus, and that's what we're going to be doing, and I hope that you'll be here for that. Any other announcements that we need to make here today? Yes, Swain. Thank you very much. I don't know about you, but I saw lots and lots of cards in lots of your boxes. Now, I say this every year, and it's true, but, you know, I open a few cards, and money sometimes falls out. You know, I like that. But if you leave those cards sitting in your box, now I'm not saying there's going to be money falling out, but I'm just telling you, if you don't check those boxes and check those cards, who knows? And to me, that's a step of faith on lots of people's parts, because instead of sending those letters to you in the mail and spending lots of postage, they put them in those boxes in hopes that you would get them before Christmas and you would open those cards. So please, walk around the corner, just check your box. Chances are there's a card in there for you, for somebody, because lots of people have done this. And I do believe it's a good way to be a good steward of postage, at least. Why spend a ton of money on postage when you can put them right into everybody's box here at the church? And some of you have a stack of cards, I'm telling you, all different colors. I can see it when I walk past those boxes, so I hope that you'll actually get those. All right, this Sunday and next, I hope that you can see the pencils are out. I hope that you'll spend some time thinking about maybe the one or two ministries that maybe you'll be wanting to serve in this year. Read carefully the sheet. Just don't put pencil to paper and not see where you're signing. All right? There's three levels of support on each of these sheets: support, member, and leader. And just know the leader is not a given. It's just you indicating a desire, and then our leaders of the church go from there. Support a member is a given. If you sign up, we will make sure that the leader of that ministry knows that this year, and that there's a team or a group that will be working together on a ministry of some sort here within our church, and we hope that you'll take advantage of that. I'm assuming this is all done. Thank you, Barbara. Came up here and quickly did this. So, all right. So we're going to take this down. And the new number that we will be using for next year, all year long, this is what we will start. This will be our base. And then some people say, well, do you give all that money? Obviously, we don't give it all away because we only had $20,000 come in. We do earmark only a percentage of this total because we want to make sure that we can complete our commitments to our missionaries and mission organizations. If we start to show through the year that we're way ahead on our budget, then we begin to look to either give more to what we have or maybe special projects that we can take on. But we have to do it. So here's our total for this next year, $36,789. $36,000, yes. All right, so that's what we'll be working off. It's almost 37. We had 38 last year. So and I can tell you our group it was no bigger than last year. Actually, I think we're a little smaller than we were last year. as we get started on a new year. But I think that this is showing a lot of faith on our part, and I hope that now that in earnest that we're going to start, I hope that every week you're praying, every month you're praying, God, I made a promise. I need your direction, your help. I need ideas. People always say, well, how do I do this now? I say, well, it starts with prayer, but it also starts with just kind of looking at where you are. I think God gives us all a stewardship brain sometimes. The fact that some of you did not spend postage on the letters that you were going to send out, that may not be a lot, but man, look at that. You just saved some money right there that could be used for your faith promise. Little things add up very quickly. And trying to find places where you don't have to spend money that maybe you normally spend. I don't tell anybody that you're going to find money in your mailbox, but you know, I've had money in my mailbox. Not all the time. I've heard people give testimony of that. God works in different ways in different people's. I've heard people say, you know, I made that faith promise, and a week later I got a job that I didn't expect I was going to have, and it pays me twice what I was getting. That's my faith promise right there. God works in different ways, and I'm just telling you, start with prayer. God knows what you promised today and last week, and he's no man's debtor. If you promise him, I believe he will give you the options. Now, you got to choose. You got to follow through. You got to put legs to these events in your life. But let me tell you, I don't think God will ever let anybody not have opportunity to do exactly what they promised if they so choose to do so. So let this year be a stretching year if you stepped out in faith in a big way. And to me, at the end of the year, I'd like to maybe gather up a few of you and give some testimony, new testimony to the power of God and how he works through our missions program here at the church, and how we as a church here on this Sunday, I don't think anybody here, our leaders don't know where $36,000 is going to come from, except God. We know it's going to come from God. Through you somehow, and we're just encouraging you to be looking for those opportunities. Any other announcements before we're dismissed here today? Thank you for coming. I didn't see anybody pointing at anybody today. But you know, I'm starting to see some fingers now. It's interesting. Chico has learned well from his wife. You know, Karen really played it, you know, quietly, you know, just snuck in. She did get in and out on a week, and we didn't even know it. You know, she was so quiet. But, all right, man, look at the 15th, Luann. Well, I'm sorry, but your husband says you're not going to escape it. We usually don't go back, but he made sure you were on the list somehow, some way. And then Judy Turner's not here today. Chico's back there, and Victor's not here. So we got at least two here that are celebrating birthdays. Now, I would tell you, Victor probably is going to see this, and Judy Turner sees this. So just know that when we get to that time, that everybody on that list, and they can see that list right now if they're watching, that we are celebrating their birthday. So let's do what we do. Let me ask, is Al ready? Think so. All right. I always like him queued up because he sounds really good right at the end. So let's do our thing. Happy birthday. a mic, get my mic back on there. All right, there we go. All right, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the faith promises that came in this year. We know that this is a stretching moment and time for lots of people. They've not done a faith promise, and so I just pray that this will be a year that not only will you stretch them, but their faith will grow stronger and deeper because they are watching you at work, Father, through their finances and helping them to meet a promise that they have no idea right now on this day how that's going to happen. May it be with power. May it be with honor and glory coming to your name. May our missionaries continue to do your will, Father, because we're able to stay with them and help them to the best of our ability. I pray, Father, that you will continue to bless us this week as we go out. We know that this is a special time of the year for us who are Christians. I pray that we will be able to invite, encourage, and challenge people to see the Christ child maybe in a different way because they know us and we point to him, Father, clearly. We shine for him in special ways. Thank you again for a glorious Sunday service. Thank you that we can be with your people around your table as we were reminded today. And just give us now strength and power to go do your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's close with this closing chorus.